Now, Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
All right, all you weenies out there who buy electric cars and think that you're greener than everybody else. John Stossel did a report on this for Fox News, and turns out you got to drive it 60,000 miles before you even come close to how green my truck is.
But wherever it's done, mining is a dirty business that adds lots of carbon to the air.
If you're worried about carbon dioxide, the electric vehicle is emitted 10 to 20 tons of carbon dioxide before it even gets to your driveway, before you drive the first mile and plug it in the first time.
Carbon dioxide produced by the mining and the manufacturing and the shipping.
Exactly. Volkswagen published an honest study. They point out that the first 60,000 miles or so you're driving an electric vehicle, that electric vehicle will have emitted more carbon dioxide than if you just drove a conventional vehicle.
So there you go. There you go. 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. I'm Leland Conway. You can hit me up on the text at 57739. My good buddy Mark Major is here. I wanted to make fun of him because he just bought an electric car. What's up, dude?
I didn't buy it to be green, though. I bought it so I wouldn't have to buy gas anymore. There's a big difference. Seriously.
You bought a Tesla. I love those. They're actually really cool. Which one did you get?
S model.
Okay. Does it have I can't remember. Does that have the ludicrous mode or is that only
yes.
the plat? Oh, does
yeah,
it?
And it's
have you used it yet?
I have not. There's another button I can hit on the screen, which is just weird. And it actually jacks the ass end of it up. It's like Puma. I think they call it Puma mode. And then
that's
think it looks at the light and when it turns green, boom.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a dangerous car, though. It's very
I can imagine.
Fast.
Yeah, I can imagine. The thing I like about them the most, this is weird and dorky, but I'm a dog lover, and I like that they have that little thing on the computer screen where it says if you leave your dog in the car, it's like, hey, I'm very comfortable.
Pet mode.
Yeah, pet mode. I think that's pretty cool because I would straight break somebody's glass if they left their dog in there on a hot day. And I love the fact that it's like, hey, don't do that. It's all good. He's sitting here at 65 degrees. So
yeah, it's really a cool mode, man. There's another thing. So we get in the other day. My daughter was back from college. And I didn't know the car did this. She hit some buttons to where every time I hit the blinker, the speakers fart. Now, it drove me crazy. I almost threw her out of the back ass of the car, but you have no idea how annoying that is until you got to live with it.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. I love it. So the reason I wanted to ask you about it, though, you and I were cracking up yesterday at some of the regulations around this.
I was bitching.
Because I think if you want to buy an electric car, buy one. If I had like a ton of money and an extra garage to put it in, I would absolutely buy one for the entertainment value. The same reason you bought it, because it's kind of cool. I would never buy it as I need to depend on this every single day, but I would love to have a vehicle I could just bop around town in and not have to get gas for. So, but what was interesting is you had to register the car, and you were telling me a little bit about the licensing process.
Well, I went to do it online, because when you have a car now, you can do that online. I went there, but because it's an EV vehicle, they wouldn't let me do it online. And I said, well, why would it be any different? Because you're supposed to get a certain kind of license plate and you got to go in there. And I'm thinking, well, this is crazy. So I start doing some more research about it. The state of Colorado decided if you have an EV or a plug-in hybrid, you can get and should get a blue license plate that says EV on it.
Okay, so that's what? Social justice points?
But no, here's the reasoning. It's right on their site.
Environmental justice points?
No, it's crazy. If other people see it, they'll know it's an EV. Then when they go buy a car, they'll buy an EV.
So wait a minute.
That's literally on their website.
Okay, but you have to pay more for this tech.
It's like $8. It's not a lot more.
So hold on a second. You're subsidizing Elon Musk's advertising for Tesla as well as the state's advertising for Tesla.
You realize you also pay another fee that's close to a couple $100 if you have an EV.
Well, but that's because you don't get any gas and you don't pay any gas taxes.
Very
so that
true.
Seems only fair.
That's true.
If that's how we were if that's how we're going to run
the see it as fair. I don't see it as fair.
Well, it depends. It depends because personally I don't think we should have taxes on items, or I think we should have taxes only on items, and we shouldn't have any income tax. If we didn't have any income tax, I call it fair. Or charge you on the kilowatt.
Yeah.
You know, you plug it in, and it's this many kilowatt hours.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand.
It's way cheaper than gas, man. It's not even close. So.
Well, here's what I don't understand about that, right? Like, if I'm the free market. Let's talk about this from a free market perspective.
Yeah.
If I'm the government, and I don't necessarily agree with government subsidizing and all this kind of stuff, but we do know from the Laffer curve that you get more of what you subsidize, right? or you get more of what you incentivize. Let's put it that way. Why doesn't the government come along and say, you know what, instead of like in, is it Louisville, they're banning new gas stations because they want you to buy an electric car. So they're going to ban a new gas station being built, which actually causes you to consume more gas because somebody's probably not going to buy an electric car just because of that. So they'll drive out of town to get gas. Why wouldn't you incentivize a gas station? We could put a to put chargers at every gas station and let them charge for it. Let them charge you, put four bays.
They do that.
Okay, well, then why don't we, isn't that the way that we're actually transitioning over to electric cars?
That, well, they're everywhere. First of all, I'm telling you, these things are everywhere until you have an electric car. Now, I've never used one.
Right.
The only used one we ever did was in Monument, and okay. It was at a gas station. It was at a Conoco.
Okay. How long did it take you to charge?
I can charge mine fully on a supercharger in less than a half hour.
That's not bad.
And that's 410 miles.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
So you don't have to plug it in and wait all night.
No.
So, but what does a supercharger cost you? Are they widely available? Can you, is there?
They're about 60 to 70, maybe even 80 cents a kilowatt.
Okay. How many kilowatts do you need to fill it up?
Probably 100 and something.
So, how's that cheaper than gas? Because you're coming into about $80 for a fill-up.
Well, it's definitely cheaper. I probably got the numbers wrong per kilowatt.
Okay.
At my house, to fully charge it costs about $12.
So the government makes you buy a more expensive plate that advertises.
It's not that much more, but you can't get it right there. So I went to register.
I don't understand that.
Well, what do you mean?
Why wouldn't you just make it? If you want people to drive electric cars, yeah, why don't you just make it easy?
Well,
why does it have to be different?
I have no idea, but
it's
went in there and I ended up with a regular green one because they wanted to give me another temporary and then mail me.
Wait a minute. You don't have to get this plate. You can get this plate that says EV.
That's just
for the environmental justice weenies.
You have to opt out.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay.
They want you to get that plate.
They want you to get it, but you can opt out. So, but the environmental justice weenies have it because it gives you points.
But if you don't know that, at least the DMV I was at, you don't know that.
Right.
I said, so I got to put another temp on and then wait in the mail? She's like, well, I mean, you could get the old green one.
Yeah. Well, but that's like the new Colorado Parks and Wildlife fee that everybody gets. It's $29. You got to opt out. And if you don't opt out, you get an automatic license to go to all the parks. But if you don't know and you weren't planning on it, you don't even know. You just paid an extra $29 for it.
You just irritated me.
I know.
No, that's when you get your license, though, right?
No, it's when you register your car.
Oh, my God.
Every time you register your car.
Now,
you have to opt out of a $29
cars?
Fee every time.
So I just paid for it yesterday.
Yes. If you didn't opt out, you paid $29 for Parks and Wildlife.
I definitely paid for it, though.
So instead of charging $87.
And I knew that. I talked about it before.
Because here's the thing. Let's say you want to use the parks. I use the parks a lot, right? I like to go to the parks. I have no problem paying a fee, $87 or whatever it is. Have my yearly pass. I can go all to the state parks. But I do that because I choose to, because that's how I get in my entertainment. I like to hike and stuff. If you don't want to do that, and you have, say, four cars, you paid more than me for something you're not even going to use.
Oh, man.
If you didn't opt out.
Well, I definitely have never opted out, and we've got five cars, and I'll tell you something worse. I'm not sure how that whole thing works, but we go to that canyon all the time in Franktown. It's something Canyon
Park. Oh, yeah,
Park.
Yeah, Castle Rock Canyon
and
or
I
Castle
Pines. Pay right there. You're still supposed to pay?
Yeah, you're supposed to have the pass for good. You better check it out. You're supposed to have the pass for good. You shouldn't have to pay to get in there. It's
well,
like you get it if you don't opt out. So, man, you're getting. See, that's what the government does. That's what the government does, Mark.
Paid like 17 times to walk in that park.
Yeah. All right, my man. Well, enjoy your Tesla. What color is it?
Black. Black inside, black outside,
sweet.
Black rims, black handles, black.
That is awesome. Did you drive it today to the station?
Hell no, man. I brought it out when we had a little snow like a week ago. I barely got up my driveway, man. When you say it's a fun car, it is.
That's what it is.
I don't drive it in
100%.
This.
All right, have a good one, man. Mark Major from the Tom Martino Show. We got to get you back in for Twisted View soon. So anyway, that to me is hilarious. I've got more of this report from John Stossel on electric vehicles. Hey, I'm with Mark here. If you want one for the entertainment value, just because I think they're cool, But what makes me laugh are the electric trucks. That's what makes me laugh. Because by the time you put a load on it, it has absolutely no range whatsoever. But don't go buying one of these things and thinking that you're actually greener than the average combustible engine car driver.
Electric cars are amazing.
Physicists like Mark Mills of the Manhattan Institute do understand. He says the trend to electric is a good thing.
But it won't change the future in any significant way with respect to oil use or carbon dioxide emissions.
That's inconvenient fact one. More electric cars will hardly dent oil use. If all of us bought electric cars, would it make any difference?
So the world has 15, 18 million electric vehicles now. It could go to 300 million, maybe 500 million vehicles. I don't think it'll get that many, but that's the aspiration. That would reduce world oil consumption by about 10%. That's not nothing, but it doesn't end the use of oil for the world.
Right. So it's hilarious to think that somehow, again, think about this. If we did do 500 million electric vehicles, think about the strain that would put on the fossil fuel powered power grid that we currently get all of our electric from to charge those vehicles, in addition to the additional burden on the environment of actually building these vehicles.
Because most of it's used for what?
Flying airplanes, driving buses, big trucks.
Which is funny to me, by the way, because when all of these super green, eco-pious jack wagons that are trying to control your life go to their fancy schmancy rubber chicken dinner, high-end hotel resort soirees like Davos and COP27 and all that, they fly in on their private jets. Somebody posted a map the other day of the flight pattern around the last climate meeting that they had with all these private jets coming in and out. It was hilarious because it's like, what? So, yeah.
Mining equipment to get the copper to build the electric cars is all oil fired, and it won't change because those trucks last 40 years.
Yeah, so that's a cycle that's not going to change. He went on to say, where does the electricity for your EV come from?
They don't know that most of America's electricity comes from fossil fuels, natural gas, and coal. Just 12% comes from wind and solar. Yet auto companies tell us
electric vehicles in general are better and more sustainable for the environment.
She's a Ford engineer. She's not ignorant.
Well, actually, she probably is ignorant in the literal sense of the word. She's not stupid, but ignorance speaks to what you know. You have to mine somewhere on Earth 500,000 pounds of minerals and rock to make one battery.
And most of this mining isn't done in the U.S. American regulations make it nearly impossible. So it's done other places, polluting those countries.
That's fascinating. I got one more here. It promotes child labor. Check it out.
And worse, ingredients in batteries are mined in places that enslave people and use child labor.
An army of children are at the heart of the mining production, wearing no shoes and in the most wretched conditions.
Most Americans proudly driving electric cars don't know about this. They just don't want mining done near them.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I say all that to say this. This conversation started yesterday when Mark was in here and we were talking about his Tesla. I think it's cool. I think it's cool he got one. And honest to God, I would 100%, if I had a bunch of extra expendable cash right now and I just wanted to buy something fun to drive, I would probably go buy a Tesla. Either that or actually like there's another one. What is it called? Polestar. Have you seen those, B-Large? Have you seen the those look, you know why I like the Pulsar actually better than the Tesla in terms of just how it looks? It actually looks like on the interior, it still has the same styling that a normal car would have. Like the dashboard is in the name. I don't like how Tesla just has the computer screen in the middle and then just this sort of blank line across the dash. Like it doesn't feel right because it doesn't feel interactive to me. And I like the interaction of driving. And I'll never, ever not want a combustible engine. But even if I'm going to drive an electric car, I want something that feels like I'm having that driving experience, not like there's a robot passing me around. You know what I mean? And the Polestar seems to have that sort of traditional design.
I don't know if the Polestar can make fart noises, though.
Yeah,
like the
that's
Tesla
the question.
Can.
I don't know if it can do that Puma edition, man, where it just kind of jacks its back end up and then it takes
ready
off.
To go.
It's like, I don't know, man. A couple texts here. Leland, the Parks Pass doesn't start till 2023. Oh, okay. You know what? I just registered a vehicle, and you know, I think you guys are right because I did not. I just bought a vehicle and I just registered it, and I did not have to opt out, and I was looking for it. So I think you're right. I think it's they delayed it until 2023 because Governor McPhee was putting off a lot of the fees until after he was reelected so that you wouldn't blame him until after that. So you're right. So Mark, if you're listening out there, you don't have to worry about it until next year if you buy a car. So unfortunately, you still have to pay to go to that park. He's going to be like, but Leland said, and they're going to be like, we don't really care what Leland said. So anyway, look, at the end of the day, I wasn't intending to do like the entire show on this at all, but I thought it was funny that there are, again, there's people that go out and they buy an electric car for the fun of it because it's an interesting piece of technology, and that's how we should go about it. If you are thinking that you can buy an electric car and it can be the dependable day-to-day driver for everything, I mean, look at this just today. The Rivian. Okay, somebody just texted the show. Text Leland 57739, 57739. Yes, there's a couple people in my neighborhood have the Rivian truck. What do you think of that one, B-Large?
I like it. Reminds me of a Jeep, but I mean, they all have huge price tags, man. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those trucks, easy. 100, what is, 110.
I was going to say, let's Google, what is a Rivian base price? Let me see here. Google.com. Let's see. Rivian.
It's going to be like my phone service. The other day I went in to get a new phone, and they're like, oh, yeah, you pay $79 base. A month.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I pay $79 a month, but my bill is $111 a month.
Okay, so the Rivian R1T base price is $67.5. Well, you've got 67.5 laying around, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
The Rivian R1S is 72.5 for its base. By the time you get anything on it, it's probably 85,000. There's a couple people in my neighborhood have one. They look cool. I've seen some of their performance statistics. Like, you can peel them out off the line, which is very cool. I don't know anything about... what I'm understanding from Car and Driver, they got a very good review from Car and Driver on their off-road ability. But I don't know anything. It's got a 314-mile estimated range. What would happen, though, if you strapped a trailer to it? That's my question. If you strapped a camper trailer or a work trailer,
they're not big trucks either.
No.
Like, those are small trucks. Like,
no.
The only full-size thing that's going to be out there is the Silverado and then the Sierra.
Have you seen the new Denali that's coming out next year? The electric?
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say the Ford. Ford's already got theirs out.
Ford's got theirs. I'm not that impressed with Ford because of the problem they have with range when you put a load on it. But what I read about the GMC Denali pickup truck that's coming out, and it's not coming out till 2023, but apparently, first of all, it has that traditional styling. I mean, modern, but traditional styling of a truck. So you still feel like you're in a truck. The luxury component of the Denali package is amazing, but apparently it's going to have a 480-mile range, and apparently it's going to deal with that issue that they have with the putting a load on it, having to reduce the range drastically. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Coming up next, the president's backing away from his banned semi-automatics comment, but he can't because he's painted himself in a corner. We all know what he really meant. That's next. I am Leland Conway, 630 KHOW, Denver Stock Station.
The more uncommon sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station.
Got a cross, I do bear. It's a Jesus piece I wear. But I don't know
if it makes me whole. Oh, I got a good bad news Mad Lib for the last part of the show today. I'll give you a little heads up before Kel gets here. Here's the headline. I'll just let you think about it. Here's the headline. Man arrested for throwing alligator through drive-thru window. That's it. That's the headline. We'll do that at 3:50 today. Final segment before the Dan Kaplis Show takes over. 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. I am Leland Conway. Follow me on Twitter. It's at Leland Show. You can text the show directly. Text Leland to 57739. Leland, I just bought a new Chevy Duramax diesel. Good for you. That's awesome. What package did you get? I like the High Country. Like, I'm kind of partial when it comes to combustible engines, diesel engines. I'm kind of partial to the Ford F-350. Like, that's my dream truck. What, you know, I would have had one by now, but my wife is like, no, it has to be an SUV because we have to be able to take the dogs. And I'm like, well, you can put the dogs in a quad cab. And she's like, well, no, we need to be able to have room for people to sit back there, but then also to have the dogs. I'm like, oh, jeez. Okay. But yeah, the Ford basically Super Duty, that's kind of my, but the Duramax diesel is actually a better diesel engine than the Powerstroke from Ford. I mean, it is. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's those Powerstroke diesels, they have some problems around 100,000 miles that are pretty expensive. My understanding is the Chevy, the Duramax they put in the Chevy will go forever. So I wonder what package you got. Leland, is Mark's car that he bought, the Tesla, a two-motor all-wheel drive? If so, then it shouldn't be terrible on the snow. I don't know. I texted him. We'll see if he texts us back. Leland, the last YouTube video I watched on the E150 Ford model pulled a Model A Ford on an aluminum trailer and only got 90 miles of range. The video was actually filmed in Colorado, testing from Fort Collins to Denver, I think. Yeah, so I saw a similar video on the E150. What they did is they tested it on the highway. You know, it's got good range. I don't know, it's like 350. And then if you get the, I think it's 310. And then if you get the super extra expensive extra life battery, you get 40 more miles of range. So if you spend 10 grand more money that you don't have, because this truck starts at like 100 grand, right? Actually, that's not true. The base model's quite a bit cheaper than that. But nicely accoutremented, it's going to be 100 grand. And then you pay like an extra 10 grand, you'll get that extra 40 miles. So how much does that compute if you're doing gas over like 10 years? Like, how much does that actually save you to get that actually 40 miles? But what were you going to say?
Who buys the base model? Like, that's the question.
I know. If you're
like,
going to do
of
it.
Of course they're going to say like it's the base model.
Right.
Like, but then it has nothing.
Yeah.
You're just like, hey, look at my Tesla.
Right. Well, you know, I'll tell you who buys the base model. When my dad was in construction and had to buy fleets of vehicles, he would buy pickup trucks, and it would be the base model. Like, legit, it barely had an air conditioner and an AM FM radio in it. But nobody buys those anymore. Nobody even really sells those anymore. Yeah. There's always something.
Well, and the people who were working in those weren't in the trucks all the time.
Like, no.
They were outside of them.
No,
so,
nobody.
I mean, it was just a point A to point B type thing.
Again, if you're buying an electric car, unless you're one of these people who's under the mistaken idea that you're being greener than everybody else, you're probably buying it because you have a fabulous amount of money and you can. And maybe you got the social justice, eco justice points or whatever for being like sufficiently eco woke. But, you know, at the end of the day, you probably want something that's nice, which is what Tesla did when he did. When Elon Musk designed the Tesla, he wanted it to be a nice car that people would want to drive. He wanted it to be fun. He wanted it to look good. You know, he wanted all of those things. And if I remember correctly, didn't he basically buy the Lotus platform? I think he bought the Lotus platform and then just built it off of that because he wanted something that was going to be high performance from the get-go. But anyway, look, the video I saw of the E150, they put a camper trailer on it and they compared that to like a, I don't know, it was like a Chevy or it might have just been the regular Ford F-150, and it got 80 miles with that camper trailer on it. And I'm like, you can't even get from like here to Trinidad with that, you know? You barely get past Colorado Springs with that. So if you're going anywhere on vacation, what are you going to do? You know?
Tell you, I'm just going to wait for the cars to start flying, man. Forget about that.
Yeah, let's just skip over the electric car and wait till we can fly. That would be so much better at the end of the day. All right, so yesterday I played this audio for you. Actually, let me go pull it back out of the box here because I need to get it from yesterday's folder. I forgot to pull that over. Oh, let's see. There's today. Let's go back in here. Let's go to yesterday. Biden wants. There we go. All right, we'll pull that up. All right, so here's Joe Biden wanting to ban all semi-automatic weapons. This was Thanksgiving afternoon.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. It's just sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None.
All right.
Not a single solitary rationale for.
All right, so where is it? Here's KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House official liar, being asked by a reporter, so does the president really want to ban all semi-automatic weapons?
Did the president misspeak, or does he in fact want to ban all semi-automatic guns that are?
No, he was talking about assault weapons. That's what he was talking about on that morning or that afternoon when he was asked that question.
What did I tell you yesterday? It doesn't matter what he was talking about, and this is a very, I don't mean to be like, I'm not trying to put on a tinfoil hat here, but this is a very important rhetorical point that needs to be made. As I pointed out yesterday, the reason why I hate the term assault weapons is because you can define it as anything you want. I mean, at some point, anything that can be picked up and wielded during an assault is in fact an assault weapon, because as I pointed out, the assault is the action taken by a human being against other human beings. The weapon is the tool used. And so you can take the same, say, let's just use an example, because what everybody thinks of when you hear the term assault weapon, you think of an AR-15, because that is what the media has deliberately done. It's attached this image to it. It's this false idea that the AR-15 is a military-grade weapon, and it's not. It's not the same weapon the military uses. It is incorrect to say that it's a military-grade weapon. It is correct to say that it is maybe a military style, but it's not the same thing that our military has. So that's the number one misconception that people get. But again, it's not the point. The AR-15 is an easy target because it's probably the most popular long rifle in America. It is incredibly easy to shoot. It is incredibly fun to shoot. It is incredibly, and I love it for all ages and sizes of people because it has low recoil. It can be extremely accurate. It is a fun weapon to shoot. Now, whether you choose to use one as your self-defense weapon is entirely up to you. I have other weapons that I would use for self-defense personally in most situations. But it's a wonderful gun, and you should not have any questions asked of you about whether or not you buy one, other than getting your background check. Once you've passed that, you should be able to buy it, whatever. But the problem with labeling that weapon an assault weapon is because once we've just labeled it an assault weapon, and it's because it's not an easily defined term, we can now broaden that definition to anything that we want. And eventually where we arrive is at all semi-automatic weapons, because there are pistols that have the same capacity as that can have the same capacity as an AR-15. For instance, there is a 15 round magazine capacity limit here in the state of Colorado. It's stupid. It's dumb. It's not their place to choose. It's highly unenforceable, but it exists. So on paper, you can't own a magazine in Colorado that has more than 15 round capacity. Now, I know we can get into the weeds and be like, well, if it was made before 2013. No, I'm just saying on paper, you're not supposed to have them. Because on paper, according to the lefties in our state legislature, being on paper stops the criminal from doing anything. Because having 15 rounds makes you less likely to have a mass shooting than having 30 rounds, whatever. Anyway, there are a number of different pistols that are semi-automatic that come with a 15-round magazine. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't be legal to have one here in Colorado, theoretically, but there are a number of pistols that are semi-automatic that have 19 and 20-round magazines. So this idea that somehow an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle is more dangerous than, say, that 19 plus one Springfield Armory XDM, right? You and I know that if we're talking about magazine capacity, maybe because if you could violate the law and get a 30 round magazine for your AR-15, then you got 10 more rounds than you got in the 9mm, right? But I mean, come on, man, we're arguing over stupid stuff. So the point is, at any point in time, they can broaden their definition of what an actual assault weapon is. So if we go back to this point that Karine Jean-Pierre is making.
Did the president misspeak, or does he in fact want to ban all semi-automatic guns?
He was talking about assault weapons. That's what he was talking about on that morning.
He wasn't, because I'm going to go back and I'm going to play it again, and this is what he said.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. It's just sick. It has no social redeeming value.
Okay, you're telling me that he was only talking about AR-15s? Why didn't he say AR-15? Why didn't he say AR-15?
None.
Why? Because it doesn't matter to him. He doesn't like any of them.
He was talking about assault weapons.
No, he wasn't. He was talking about anything he doesn't think you should have. Bottom line. Anyway, I almost could have predicted this, that was going to be the line that they were going to take. Oh, they're going to walk it back, but it doesn't matter. Because, the idea is to make you feel comfortable if you don't own an AR-15, to be like, well, my semi-automatic self-defense pistol is fine, so I'm not worried if they take away my neighbor Bob's AR-15 from him, because it doesn't affect me. Until it does. And it will. All right, when we continue. I have these two stories that we have to do. Tipflation. If you're wondering what that is, I'm going to tell you what that is. And also, college debt. The president is still trying to forgive college debt. I have the top 10 most regretted college degrees and the top 10 wished for college degrees. And there's an interesting correlation here to the problem of expensive college in the first place. You'll love this. 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. Hey, B-Large, do you ever follow that dude, Liver King? Whatever. Do you know who I'm talking about? Because he swears he's not on steroids.
No, he is on steroids.
He swears he's not, right?
Oh, well, no, he just admitted it the other day.
Apparently emails came out. OutKick had it.
Yeah.
He admitted that he was on it. Leaked emails show that Liver King was taking almost $12,000 worth of pharmaceutical HGH per month, 3 injections a day, all while promoting his brand of holistic lifestyle, ancestral tenets, and eating raw meat on camera. That is, I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you, to learn that he is on steroids.
Right? Oh, geez.
For the longest time, he was swearing up and down that he wasn't on steroids. I'm like, if you've seen this guy, look him up. Look him up. Google Liver King. Look him up. And you'll be like, there is no freaking way. There is no freaking way. I mean, no way.
It's like the 80s and 90s, the WWF wrestlers being like, no, we're not on any kinds of drugs.
Oh, my God. Come on. All right. 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. I am Leland Conway. Text the show directly, 57739. Leland, I'm an NRA instructor. They are guns or firearms, not weapons. It's all in how you use it. A car, a baseball bat, a 9-iron can all be weapons if you use them to attack, harm someone or something. I like to refer to my firearm as my self-defense firearm. That's what I like to refer to it, because it is never going to be an offensive weapon, ever. It will always only be as a last line of action to protect myself, my family, or some other innocent third party. Period. End of story. It will never be a weapon. It will never be something that is an instrument of attack. Always defense. So, yeah, great point. 57739 if you want to jump in the conversation real quick. All right, coming up next hour, I have these two stories that I'm going to get to. Oh, this is actually three stories. We have to get all these in before the end of the show, B-Large. Don't let me forget. So we're going to start it off with what is tipflation? What is that? I'll explain what that is. And it's an interesting discussion, because there are way too many places right now that are asking. Here, let me just give you a little hint. What is tipflation? Okay, it's gotten so bad with asking for a tip when you're not actually providing any additional service that now online services are asking for a tip. And they're not doing anything. They're just shipping something straight to your house and they want a tip for it. It's ridiculous. So we'll get into tipflation. Also, apparently the White House is very concerned about all the free speech going on Twitter. So we'll talk about that. The other one was the college debt. We got to talk about that. And then we also have our mad news, bad news, Mad Lib Here's the headline if you want to get ready for it and see if you can guess the story behind it. Man arrested for throwing alligator through drive-thru window. B-Large is already working away on his Mad Lib on that one. It's all coming up next hour at 3:05. I am Leland Conway, 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.